about it.
Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. There's not a sliver of doubt. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together again this morning, and sure appreciate the song specials and all the praises. He's my Lord. I was afraid, part 16. When are you ever going to get over this? When you get over it. Numbers chapter 13, we'll start at the 25th verse. Numbers 13 and 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word. They brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. But, now in the English language, whenever you have a conjunction like that, particularly the conjunction, the word but, they teach you in creative writing, composition class, tell the people what they want to hear. Tell them what the message that you want to give them. And if there's any bad news, then put the comma and say, but. Surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. But nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled. Okay, there's some strong people. There's a walled city. And very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. So we saw strong people. We saw walled cities. And we saw the children of this jolly green giant, Anak. So agree with the message. Say, yes, it's exactly what the prophet said, but... Now tell us how you really feel. Excuse me. The Amalekites, they dwell in the land of the south. Okay. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites, they dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites, they dwell by the sea. Okay, so the land is inhabited. You knew that before you even went. And by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now, what, did they have a wrestling match when they went over there? Did they leg wrestle or arm wrestle or lift weights? How do they know they were stronger? And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it's a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Must have been describing Tucson. You go through these bushes and it'll tear your clothes off. Stick you with stickers and whatever's left. The snakes will bite and the tarantulas will bite. And then the sun will take all the moisture out of you. The land's going to eat you up. Doesn't sound like a good land, does it? I mean, this is contradicting what they said earlier. Now they're lying. Earlier they said it was a good land that floweth with milk and honey. Now they're saying it'll eat you up. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Now they're resorting to just flat out lying, because not every man in there was taller than them. And there we saw the giants. So the story just grows and grows and grows, and it gets spookier and spookier. The sons of Anak, which come of the giants. Well, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. A little child, when he falls, probably not going to hurt itself. Didn't have far to fall. Let a giant fall, he's done. We saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight. This is how we saw ourselves. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers. Okay? That's your view of yourself. And so we were in their sight. Now, how do they know that? Did they go over and say, hey, do we look like grasshoppers? We think we do. What do you guys think? You see how imagination can get away from you? How you can end up making up stories even. Imagined enemies. Things to fear. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts this morning, Lord, we love you and we thank you. We appreciate all that you're doing for us, all that you've done for us. Thank you for bringing us together into your house this morning to gather together to praise you, to worship you, Lord, to draw strength from you, to give praise reports of testimonies, Lord, of your goodness and the things that you've done, and to bring our requests before the body, to feed upon the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Father, I pray that you'd bless each and every one this morning. I pray that there not be a single person leave this building without saying, wasn't it good to walk with him along the way? Wasn't it good to be with him this morning? Father, we love you, we thank you, and we're looking forward to all that you have for us, Lord, because you do everything well. Bless your people now. We give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I Was Afraid, part 16. So this morning we want to look at how that fear can actually affect our inheritance. As children of God, we have an inheritance, but the amount of it that we possess can be affected by fear. In our text this morning, as we see the chosen people of God who are following a prophet, and they are claiming to believe the message of the prophet, and a leader from each tribe is chosen by the people of each tribe, and each one of these leaders is sent over to the land that they are heading towards, and they're to bring back a fresh, updated report of what it was that they saw. So the men go on this field trip together, if you will, and 10 of them come back with one report, and one man by the name of Caleb, he gives a report of what he and Joshua saw, and it's a different report. Now, how can it be that they're going and they're looking at the very same thing? They're visiting the same land. They're walking the borders thereof. They're looking at the people, the land, and everything that's in the land. How could they come back with two different reports? Well, how can we come to a church service and leave with two different reports? Not just two reports, but two completely different reports, and actually two reports that are opposite in so many ways. I thought that there was just one message that they were all following. I thought they were the chosen people of God. I thought that they were under a messenger. Then how could they hold a testimony meeting and say, we can't. I'm depressed. It isn't worth it. Nobody can do it. We're afraid. The devils won't let us. It's impossible. And your point is? And they got to the place in their own testimony meeting where they actually resorted to telling lies about what they saw. They weren't just afraid of what they saw. They were also afraid that the people might believe what the other two spies would have to say next. And then actually want to continue to go into that land. And these 10 did not want to go. And one man says, amen to the message. This word is wonderful. The land is wonderful. This land is exactly what the prophet said it was. In every detail, in every respect. We can do this, guys. Not only can we do it, but let's do it right away. Let's don't waste any time. Let's do it in haste. We can overcome. We can possess our healing this morning. We can take what our enemy has taken away from us. We can take it back. We can possess the land. We can live this message. We are more than able to take what belongs to us. Shut up, you scaredy cats. Shut up, you fear devils. We can have anointed services. Our children are safe. And our children have nothing to fear. And neither do we. Everything that we've been told is the truth. We don't have to sift and sort. We have God's word on it. And we have fruit to prove it. This is not a word only meeting that we're having. There's evidence. Taste and see. And we are bringing to you this good word, they said. They came with word. They came with fruit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Whom shall we fear? Our messenger told us one time that the greatest hindrance to the full gospel church is fear. Now think about it, friends. Did you hear what I just said? He didn't say giants are our greatest hindrance. He didn't say cancer is our greatest hindrance. He didn't say the governments of this world are our greatest hindrance. He didn't say what other people say or what other people think is our greatest hindrance. No, he said the greatest hindrance to the full gospel people is fear. Now, fear isn't actually an enemy. Fear isn't actually something that can destroy you or take you down. Fear is something that's imagined. Fear is something that's looked at and is embraced as if it were the very thing that it's standing for. We deal with many, many unseen enemies and seen enemies every single day. And all around the world. It doesn't matter where you live. You might get the idea, well, I'm just going to move away to some other place where there aren't any problems. There's problems everywhere. And there's devils everywhere. We deal with many seen and unseen enemies. We face constant battles with the enemies of our God. We labor for our daily bread. We labor to get the things that we need to survive physically, to get the training that we need to make a living. We labor for our spiritual bread. And the enemy fights us each time we head out to come to the Lord's table to eat. We face negativity on every side. It's all around us. You cannot get away from it. And some of our leaders bring word that is filled with fear, while others bring back good news that is filled with exceeding great and precious promises and testimonies that go with it. And they bring fruit that matches the word that they bring. And the church says, our spiritual enemies, friends, they have already learned that they can't keep many of us from responding to the Lord's call when he calls us, and from getting saved, and from deciding to take him at his word and to follow after him. And so what do they do next? If they can't keep you from accepting him as your Lord and Savior, they will keep us from growing spiritually. They will try to keep us as babies, wearing diapers and needing to be continually spoon-fed instead of learning to feed ourselves what is being served to us. They will try to keep us as weak little helpless babies. Friends, we don't start out with an inheritance that we possess right away in its fullness. We have an inheritance, But we grow into our possessing of it. As we grow and as we mature, God wants to bring us into more and more of what He has for us. He wants us to have the character to be able to handle it, but He wants us to have these things that He's promised to us. So if Satan can keep us from, can't keep us from the new birth part of our walk, as we would call it, well, then he will focus on trying to keep us from the inheritance part. And if I was him, and I'm not, if I was him, I'd do the same thing. So this is the setting that we find Israel in our story here this morning. God has given them a mighty prophet, a vindicated prophet. God has vindicated the prophet. He's vindicated the message, and God is with him, and God himself is leading in a pillar of fire and a cloud by night. And the land that God is taking them to has also already been vindicated. We don't focus on that too much. We look at it as if this is a brand new thing and they don't know anything about the land. Oh, it's already been vindicated time and time and time again. Job is buried in Hebron. Abraham and Sarah, they're buried in Hebron. They're buried in Machpelah, the cave of the double portion. And Abraham's sons they're buried there, and their wives. Joseph's bones are being carried with them to be buried in this special place. The Jews believe that Adam and Eve are actually buried there in Hebron in that very same portion of the land. And they are buried there because all of them knew that this was a special place in the eyes of God. The people are really only a matter of a few days or more from the land as these spies are being sent out. And they have a vindicated leader that is bringing them the word of the Lord for their journey, and also actually bringing them, storing up the word that will sustain them when they get in the land and that they will live by when they get into the land. They've absolutely declared that they're the believers of Moses. And they have a natural application of the token that they've applied, the blood on the lintels of the door before they left at the Passover. And they've all been justified at the Red Sea, and they're being sanctified as they're going on this wilderness journey. And they're going to face the River Jordan eventually, which is a type of death to the self. And they've all been delivered from the bondage of Egypt. And they're heading to the land of their inheritance. And some are trying to put them back under the spirit of bondage again to fear. Satan couldn't stop them from coming out of Egypt. Oh, he tried, but he couldn't do it. And Egypt is a type of the world. Egypt is a type of, you know, dead religion, your dead habits, and all the things that you did before God got a hold of you. It's a type of the bondage of sin. So Satan couldn't keep them from leaving the land of Egypt. So the next tactic that he will use is to try to stop them from receiving the full benefit of their inheritance. Okay, you came out, but I'm going to try and keep you from going in. So if the devil can't get you to believe that God is a liar, well, then he'll try to get you to doubt your inheritance as a believer. Get you to doubt who you are in Christ Jesus. So 12 men are chosen from among the tribes, and these 12 are chosen to represent about 2.5 million people. 12 out of 2.5 million. So that's about, you know, we know that all the sizes of all the tribes were not equal, but let's just say if they were, that would be on average about 208,000 people per leader. And each of these 12 men, what they're going to say is going to have a tremendous impact on the rest of the people that they are representing. They are going over as ambassadors. They are going over as spokesmen for the people, as reporters, if you will. Friends, God has already declared to them that the land is there and that the land is a good land. It's a promised land. And these men are, they are going to go as hands-on representatives who will then testify to the people about their inheritance as eyewitnesses. It will be their job to bring word and fruit to the people. It will be their job to actually create a vision for the people of what they're going to walk into based on what they saw. And what they say to the people, friends, it will have just as much of an effect on the people as what the prophet's message has on them, if not more. I hope you're listening this morning. The people have God's word. The people have Abraham's word. The people have Abraham's testimony. The people have Joseph's word. They have his testimony. They have Moses' word. And now they will have the word of their 12 chosen leaders that were chosen from among them to represent them. Now, if you're going to send somebody, you're going to choose somebody, you want to send somebody that's going to come back and tell you the truth. And you also want to make sure that he's not blind. Because he's going to tell you what he sees. So think about that for a moment, friends. They have chosen who they will listen to. They have chosen who they will trust to be their eyes and ears concerning the inheritance. They're going to go first. A type of the Levites going first. They're going to go first and then come back and tell you how it is. Now think about it. At this particular time, it had been hundreds of years since Abraham. Abraham's report was one of the last reports. So now it's time for an update. We know what Abraham said about it. What's the current condition? And Moses' tapes, they're all still saying the same thing, bringing the word of the Lord to the people. But God said, don't send drones over there to come back and tell you about it. Don't use mechanical devices. Choose you men. And send these men over to be your reporters. And these men were tasked, friends, with examining the message and with bringing back an up-to-date view of the message, if you will. They were not word prophets. We know that. They weren't to bring strange fire. But they had more ability over to sway the people than Moses and Aaron had. Oh, I hope somebody heard that this morning. They actually had more influence over the people than the prophet and his mouthpiece. What a place of influence that these men had. Would make you want to choose wisely, right? And that's the same thing that you and I face today. A man doesn't even need to be a preacher to then stand up and give his interpretation to the people of what our claims, what he claims our inheritance is in the message. And he stands in a very dangerous place because he can have a greater effect on the people than even preachers can. Some will say, you know, Moses didn't finish his job, so we can't cross over into the land as adopted sons until he comes back. But God took Moses and continued to lead the people under a Joshua ministry. And Moses didn't even cross over. God led the people into the next phase of their journey by his spirit. So these 12 men, they're going to have great influence over the people because what they are going to bring will be updated testimonies of present day information about their inheritance. They're not to give a testimony of 1906 Azusa. They're to give a testimony of 2023, Tucson, Arizona. It's been over 400 years since Abraham walked the land and left us with a report. That's a long time, friends. And these men, they spent 40 days. They traveled throughout the land. They've searched it. They went from coast to coast and border to border. They've looked over the land, the condition of the land. They looked at the crops that are growing there, They looked at the people that were all presently living in the land. They examined it in great detail. They saw cancer there. They saw diabetes there. They saw depression and discouragement there. And these men head over into the land with a mindset of what they haven't yet seen themselves. So the mindset that you have ahead of time is going to color actually what you see. And that's no different from us this morning, friends. And if this doesn't hit home, then there's no point in me going any further. If this doesn't apply to this setting here this morning, then this is just a story that we're reading. We all come to church with a certain mindset about what we will see and about what we will hear. You already have a preconceived idea in your mind. You already have an expectation, whether you realize it or not. And one person will give a report after the service, and the person next to him maybe will give a report that's completely opposite, and yet they were in the same service. So which report is the true report? The majority? You can't judge it by that. So this is an updated report of the message of the inheritance. Friends, if you come to church in a funk, if you come to church with a spirit on you, with a picky attitude, well, then the music won't be right. The air won't be right. The song leader won't be right. The musicians won't be right. Maybe the people won't be right. And certainly the preacher won't be right. And the result is that the latest update of your inheritance won't be right. What are you going to possess out of that besides misery? And at the same time, somebody else that's sitting right next to you will say something else, not you, but next to this person that's picky, will say something else about the temperature and the sound and the music and the word. And yet another one will say, I met Jesus. I came to worship. I found him. I found exactly what I was looking for. And once again, he exceeded my expectations. Look at the preparation in this service already. We have songs coming forth, preparing for the message that you're hearing right now. We didn't get together and coordinate. Now you sing this, and we want two song specials. Make sure you sing this and that. And, you know, make sure there's one about not being afraid. Come on, church. You think that's a coincidence? Something's taking place right now. So Joshua, I want you to get this. Joshua and Caleb, they saw the same things that the other 10 spies saw and more. Yes, the temperature might have fluctuated a few degrees, but they were worshipers. And since they were worshipers, they're not even going to testify about the temperature in their report. They're not even going to bring it up. You see, they weren't looking for perfection. When they went over to look into the land, they weren't looking for heaven on earth. They are worshipers. And they have come to receive from the Lord. And they were not disappointed. But those that pick at their food all the time and pick at this and that and the other, their report will be no different from their last one. I knew it. Didn't I tell you that's how the church service would be today? Well, wasn't that what you were expecting? You know, think about this for a minute, friends. Listen to me closely. As picky as a person like that sounds, they actually aren't disappointed because they actually found what they came to see. They found what they were looking for. Now, if I can drive this next point down, I can close the service right now. We can have a revival. What you are looking for is what you will see. And what you will see is what you will get. So it starts with what you are looking for. It starts with some advanced programming. It starts with some expectation. It starts with some meditation. It starts with a vision. It starts with a plan. It starts with a direction. It starts with promises. And then an expectation of the fulfillment of those promises. You come that way, you'll get what you're looking for. I guarantee you, friends. People do get what they're looking for. And as miserable as a person may sound when they're doing all that complaining, they're actually happy. They actually like that. They're comfortable with it. I told you, I knew it. Well, aren't you the genius? So what are we looking for this morning? That's the question each and every one of us needs to answer. Why did you come? What are you looking to take place? What do you have need of? You will see what you've come to see. And what you see is what you will get. So are we looking for more fear this morning? Are we looking for more bondage? Or we want to hear some more do's and don'ts? And are we looking for worry? Are we looking for stress? Are we looking for sickness? Are we looking for rejection or failure? Or are we looking for the word that's honey in the mouth? Living waters that satisfy a holy thirst. Exceeding great and precious promises that have been promised to us. And we're the finishers of the race. So if it doesn't happen to us, it's all been in vain. Are you looking for another step towards a body change, perhaps? Are you looking for a little more rapturing faith? Are you looking to believe more this morning than ever before? Now, friends, if you are a worshiper this morning, you will find things that you don't like. Let's just settle that. Just as everybody else. But you won't focus on those things. That's not what you came to see. Though they might be there. You came to worship. Amen. Because you're a worshiper. Amen. Worshipers worship. Amen. You came to worship. Amen. So guess what? You came to worship, so worship. Amen. I came to meet with the Lord. We'll meet with Him. Amen. I came to get healed. Surrender to it. Receive it this morning. I came to be delivered of fear. Let go. Put it down. Blessed be His wonderful name. I came to sit at the feet of Jesus. Not the feet of the minister, the feet of Jesus. To hear the living word. To feed on His unfailing word. I came to sing hallelujah. I came to praise the Lord. I came to tell Him I love Him. I came to tell Him, Father, I appreciate You. Thank You, Papa. Abba, Father, I love You. I'm so glad to be in Your house. I came to be encouraged. I came to have shackles broken. I came to get set free. I came for my faith to rise up a little bit more so I could possess a little bit more. I came to get my lesson for the week. I came to give praises to my King. I came to talk things over with Papa. I came to receive from Him this morning. I came to receive what He prepared for me before the foundation of the world. And He's serving it this morning. I've been, last week or so, I've been trying to get some pictures of our Milky Way galaxy because this is a great time for viewing it if you live in the Southwest, except for the clouds. And looking at what science has to say about our galaxy is about 100,000 light years in diameter. So from the outer belt to the center is 50,000 light years, and from the center to the other side is another 50,000 light years. So that's 100,000 light years. And remember, a light year is the distance that light travels in 1 year. So if you could travel at the speed of light, which you can't yet, but if you could, it would take you 100,000 years just across our galaxy. And our solar system is about 25,800 light years from the center. So when we look into, when we look at our Milky Way, what we're seeing is light that left the center of our galaxy 25,800 years ago. So you and I are seeing the same thing Adam saw. We're seeing the same thing that everybody that ever lived saw. Because we're not actually, none of us have actually seen yet what's happening. I mean, the center of our galaxy could have blown up. It'll take 25,800 years for you to know it. Think about it. What a massive thing it is. What a great creation. And that's just one galaxy out of billions of galaxies in our universe. And we're out on the edge, not the very edge, but you know, two-thirds of the way away from the center of our galaxy. And we are situated in such a way, you know, the galaxy is like a disc. And we are situated in such a way that when we look up at the galaxy and we're looking towards the center of it, we're looking at it sideways. We're looking at it edge on. And we're trying to see the core, which is very visible at this time of the year. We're trying to see the core, which is 25,800 light years away. I did get a picture of it here the other night. That's amazing, right? I captured light that has been traveling 25,800 years from the core of our galaxy. And they say that our nearest galaxy is a galaxy called Andromeda. And they say it's the brightest in the night sky because it's the closest, because, you know, it's only 2.5 million light years away. And they say eventually the Andromeda galaxy is going to collide with the Milky Way galaxy. Brother Alvaro, let's get a petition together. Let's get everybody scared to death. Because sometime billions of years from now, these galaxies are going to collide. We better start worrying about it. What did you have to do with how it's set up right now? Who's been worrying until you got this information? Now it's time for you to worry, right? I don't want to be destroyed. So let's start a campaign. Let's sound the alarm like they're doing with climate change and possible massive meteor strikes and so on and so forth. And just think this morning, friends. The very one that made all of this and set it all in its place and commanded its boundaries and said, don't go any further, stay right there, established all the laws that governed it, is the same one that sent you his word this morning. That would have to be the greatest being of all. He didn't just send you the word for the age, which he most certainly did, but he sent you the portion of the quickened word that you have need of this morning. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shores. He sees each sparrow that falls. That's the God we serve this morning. What do I have to fear? Don't you think that he knows exactly what it is that you have need of this morning? If you believe that, raise your hand. Say, Father, I believe. I believe you know what I have need of. And Father, I've come to collect. And you're a loving Father. And your desire is to give me this. I came to worship the God of the universe this morning. The one that put that galaxy in place. I came to worship him. Yeah, the enemy has messed with the air conditioner this morning. And maybe he's stretched a few guitar strings. And maybe he's caused a few doors to slam. And maybe he's caused the return of our air conditioner to suck that bathroom door, hallway door. And all you can hear is the door. And that's all you hear. And you leave and that's all you've heard. Well, I won't deny that it's happening. But you didn't come to hear that. In spite of the door, you came to hear the word. I came to worship my Creator. I came to say, Abba, Father. I came to my Father's house. And I didn't come looking for perfection because it doesn't exist. You won't find it anywhere. And if you do, it won't be perfect because you just arrived. I came to worship God. And that's what I'm going to do. I came to praise the Lord. I came to give Him thanks. I came to be encouraged. I came to say, come on, brother. Come on, sister. The move is on. I came to challenge your faith this morning. I came to tell you the good news, to bring the good report, the updated 2023 report. The land is good, and we're more than able to take the land. Every promise, there's no giant in that land that can stand before us. Sure, there are disturbances in the land, but there we'll deal with it when we get there. For some people, friends, the first thing they see is the front door of the church. And they start micro-examining the door, looking for imperfections. Are there imperfections? What is perfect? If I ask one of you, you'll have one opinion. Somebody else will have another opinion. Right? So for some, they look at the front door. They start micro-examining it. Listen, friends, I don't care if there's a dirty cloth hanging out at the entrance of the church. And I got to pass through that dirty cloth. If that's what I got to do, I'll do it. I don't care if there's love beads hanging like the hippies in the 60s. And I got to pass through those and they're going jingle, jangle, jingle. I don't care if it's made of solid gold. I don't care. I didn't come to examine the door. I came to go through the door and to get something on the other side of the door. Don't let the devil stall your revival. Don't let the devil sidetrack you from your inheritance. And when I get in here, I don't care if I have to sit on a milk crate. I don't care if I have to sit on a magic carpet. If there is such a thing. A hard pew. Oh, well, I didn't bring my cushion this morning. I'm going to leave at a certain amount of time because that's all the tush can take. Okay, I'll see you at the U of A game on that concrete seat in the 110 degree weather. How long will you stay there? I don't care if I have to sit in the dirt this morning. Anybody ever done that? I kind of miss it myself. A little easier on the kids. I didn't come to lay on a futon. I didn't come to sit on a velvet-covered couch with something to prop my legs up on. Let's have a vote here this morning. Oscar Mark, help me out. You just look around when people raise their hand. How many would like to have chairs with things that lift out, you know? It's easier on the circulation, right? You don't want to get blood clots. You know, because your pastor preaches too long and you're cutting off circulation. That's why you're running to the bathroom so much. You don't want blood clots. Sit in front of a TV for 5 hours. Go to a movie theater, won't leave your seat. Cross your legs because you're about to wet your pants, but you don't want to miss anything. But in church, all these little details. Why is that? They're real things. But What kind of a report are you giving this morning? What are you looking for? These men saw the very same thing, but they didn't mention giants. They didn't mention everything that would have to be dealt with in the land. They didn't say the land's going to swallow you up. They didn't mention any of that, but they saw the very same thing. Help us, Lord. Listen, friends, if I have to elbow my way through all my aches and pains to get here this morning, I'll do it. How many would come to church this morning if you had to walk to church? If you're a worshiper, you'll walk to church if that's what you got to do. Crawl if you have to. I remember one time when I was younger, I had a friend that, well, he had a little trouble with alcohol and some other things, and he'd come over to our house. My wife and I are married. We have kids, but he'd show up at our house sometimes, and I'd let him sleep on the couch, and he'd usually be gone in the morning, sometimes before we even got up. And I remember this one particular time that he came over, middle of the night, crashed on the couch. And then the next morning, I saw that he had grass stains in his armpits. And I asked him, how in the world do you get grass stains under your armpits? Well, he was crawling. I don't know if he crawled to the bar or crawled to our house. But he had a vision. He had something in his mind that he was looking for. And if he had to crawl. Friends, if the people will do that to go to a devil's party, what about us? Well, don't worry. You won't get grass stains on your armpits. There isn't any grass out here anyway. You'd have to travel through a golf course or something. If you have to elbow your way to get here, friends, there aren't enough devils in hell to keep me from what my Father has promised to me this morning. I expect to get what I came for. And if I get to church and I find that there are spiders everywhere, I'll not leave until I get what I came to see and to hear. And I'll ask the Lord to help me to ignore the spiders. Some of you are looking around. Lately, I've posted some pictures from buffalo and elk and different things that we've seen on different trips of beautiful sunsets and lightning and thunder. It'll just kind of trickle, you know, over about a week's time. I might get 70 or 80 visits or people will give you a like, or some of them will comment. But take a picture of a tarantula on your front porch. The day won't be done, and 1,000 people are commenting. Ew! And people that don't live here, oh, that's horrible. Nightmares. That's awful. And that's all they think about. I'll never visit. Thank you for showing me that. I will never visit Tucson. I was thinking of coming out and visiting you guys, but here's this big old hairy looking thing. Why is it that we can latch on to fearful things and get everybody in the world to comment on it, but then post so-and-so got healed or so-and-so got delivered. This one had a prayer that was answered. This one got a job. This one got the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, that's okay. Want to go to Denny's? How many came to see Jesus this morning? How many are going to say, I will not be denied? Did you come to see him? Well, if you did, then turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world, they'll grow strangely dim. In the eyes of his glory and grace. Isn't he wonderful? I don't know what you came to do, friends, but I came to praise the Lord. Amen. And I don't care whether I'm in order, out of order. I don't care what anybody thinks. The first thing I got to do is get away from what I think. Most of the time, that's our only problem. We're sitting there thinking, well, what are they going to think? Well, they're sitting there thinking, what are you going to think?
So while they're worried about what you're going to think and you're worried about what they're going to think, you don't realize that neither one of you are thinking about one another. Might as well just have church. Listen, friends, if I just told you how big this one galaxy is, 100,000 light years. Next closest galaxy, 2.5 million light years. Where's God at this morning? What's keeping him from you? And yet, he made all of that. And yet, he's here with you this morning. Surely a change in temperature of a few degrees won't matter. A few worries and a few scares, they're not going to stop you. These two shall pass. When the 10 spies see the obstacles that are in the land, they are immediately anointed with the spirit of fear. And some were no doubt anointed with fear before they even got there. Well, what if we get over there and there's holy rollers? What if we go over there and show up and somebody next to me shouts? What if somebody screams? Oh, that'll just run a chill up my spine. And when they do get there, friends, they look and they see. And what they see strikes fear in their hearts. And at that moment in time, friends, they aren't looking at the great big massive clusters of grapes that takes two men to carry. And it's nobody is planting it. Nobody is watering it. This land is producing it. It's flowing with it. They're not looking at all the cool, crisp, refreshing springs that are bubbling up everywhere. Wouldn't that be your testimony? You got all your relatives back in the desert. You know, they had to hunt to find a water hole. And they don't want to leave the spring because they don't know where the next spring is going to be at. But they have to move on anyway. And so, you mean to tell me that you've come into a Mecca, a place where, I mean, you got water on the mind. If you live here in the desert, you got water on the mind. You think about it all the time. Do you realize there are more, per capita, there are more boat owners in Arizona than any other state? Most of them never make it to the lake. But just the idea, I could take this out on a lake. Somehow that's a release, I guess. Don't tell me how I know that, but. They're not looking. Listen to it this morning, friends. This is a simple thought, but sometimes we just need a simple thought. Stick to your ribs. They were looking at the things that they were afraid of. And they are cowards. And Brother Brown said, God has no use for cowards. Now, before you think you're being picked on because you face fear, they weren't cowards because they experienced fear. We all experience fear. They were cowards because they let what they fear keep them from what was promised to them. And they weren't willing to fight for it. They weren't willing to fight for what was already theirs. Now, it would be a different thing if you weren't sure what the outcome was going to be, but you've been given a promise. And it's been vindicated time and time and time and time again. They're afraid of a little wildfire perhaps, or a little fanaticism. That just makes me sick to my stomach. So they spray everything down with fire retardant foam ahead of time. And then they keep the fire hoses handy just in case something happens, which it never will. I mean, if you've already sprayed it, watered it, you're afraid of it, it isn't welcome, why keep preaching on it? Why not actually get some? And then say, look, here's what wildfire looks like, and here's what we need to do. Why preach about something you don't have? Why be afraid of something that isn't real? I was thinking about this morning as we were leaving the house. You know, that sometimes just these thoughts come to you. We got two cats at home, and they're relaxed and maybe a little too relaxed sometimes. But why aren't they worrying about whether we're going to buy more cat food? Come on, friends. I don't think they're worrying about that. They don't look like they are. How do they know that we're going to go to the store? How do they know that the stores are going to have cat food? How do they know we're even going to come home? Why aren't they worried? Let this sink home. Let it get down to the gable end of your soul this morning. They could just worry their heads off. First of all, what good would it do to worry? Somebody tell me what function worry does. Somebody tell me how it helps. What does it accomplish? What does it do besides break you down? Come on. Something just came to me as I was preaching the other day, and I'm going to repeat it again because it's so good. I found when praying for people, warts are some of the easiest body afflictions. You pray for it and they go. And we've seen, I can't tell you how many times we've seen people come up, prayer for warts, the warts go away. It's a weak spirit. It is a spirit. It's a life. You cast that life out, it goes away. Right? Well, that's what worry is. Right? So those of you that are worry warts this morning, why don't you just lay that thing down? Why don't you choose to realize it's a paper tiger? You know what a paper tiger is? It's something that you're afraid of that isn't real. It's a picture of a tiger. Come on. Why don't you just lay that down? How has it helped you? What has it accomplished? How many times was it even true? Come on, just think about it for a moment. The thing that you worried about, how many times did it turn out to actually be legitimate? And even if it was legitimate, what did worrying do? If my cats can have a peace about them to trust that we will continue to feed them, why can't we trust that God is going to feed us? That when we come to church, if we have fear, He'll cast it out. If we have sickness, He'll heal us. If we're bound, He'll deliver us. If we need the Holy Ghost, He'll fill us. If we need encouragement, He'll encourage us. He'll lift us up. Manage your expectations. Make sure you get the best reporter that you can get that's not going to come back with fake news. So instead of these other two spies, instead of describing all these other things that they saw, that other people saw, they instead brought back word concerning their ability to overcome everything that they saw without going into the details of what they saw. They didn't have to paint some big old boogeyman. They came back saying, you know what, whatever's in that land, we're more than able. We're more than able to take the land, to possess the land. If just one person receives this morning, I'll go home happy. Maybe it'll be me. Listen, friends, We don't need to scrape a cancer cell off of somebody this morning and put it under a microscope and then put it up here on the big screen and then go through all the details of a cancer cell and tell you how scary it is and ugly and what it can do. We don't need to read all the, what do they call them, contrained addictions or contraindications. I think that's the word. Why do they make such nasty words? Contraindications, right? Try this. It'll deliver you. It'll heal you. Look, you'll be out playing with the grandchildren and you'll be jumping and running. Your back's broke, but you'll be jumping and running. And you never could do that when you were healthy, but you'll be doing it now. The sun will be shining. The music will be playing. And then they bring the contrained addictions at the end. Some will commit suicide. Some will die of cancer. This has been shown to cause this, that, and the other. You listen to all that. And you think, why in the world would anybody take that? You might die. You might slit your wrists. You might kill somebody. But you'll play with your grandchildren. There are no contraindications to the Word of God. There are no bad side effects. It won't kill you. It'll kill your enemy. It'll heal you. It'll deliver you. It'll do everything and more. It'll exceed your expectations. So we don't need to know how these sicknesses and different things, how they operate and spread. We don't need to examine fears and legitimize them and worry. We don't need to look at them and examine just how big and scary that they are. Of course they look scary. The enemy is supposed to look scary. Who would go off to war wearing a pink Barbie outfit with flower petals all over it? Wait a minute, that's a bad analogy. That would be scary. I was trying to pick something that wouldn't be scary. Don't do this at home. Who would go to war wearing a tuxedo? Or if you're a woman, an evening gown? Warriors are supposed to look scary. You ever seen pictures of young men, right after they've joined the service, you know, they'll usually take a picture of them in their uniform and nice crisp uniform and American flag behind them, maybe a U.S. Marine Corps flag or Air Force flag, whatever it might be. And they're just, no, they're not. You're like, wait a minute, you went to our church. You're looking like this. They got a scary look on their face. It's supposed to be. They're trying to show you that they're brave and that they're warriors. They're supposed to look scary. There are many armies throughout the history of the world that wore war paint. And they put notches in their belt for every victory. Here in America, some of the tribes, they'd have scalps from, the white people did it too. They'd have scalps that they carried so that the enemy would look at them and they'd be scared. Because they'd think, oh no, I don't want mine added to that collection. This guy isn't actually theoretically a scalper. He's got 13 of them hanging on his belt. I don't want to be 14. So it's supposed to be scary. So just accept that. Right? Cancer is supposed to be scary. Sickness is supposed to be scary. Right? But what enemy this morning is a match for God's word? As scary as it is. The same one that made the Milky Way galaxy is here this morning. Who is greater, that little single cell of cancer or the one that made the universe? Who is greater, him or an allergy? Who is greater, him or a lump that showed up last night? Who is greater, him or an infection in your body? Him or something that you're worried about that's in your future that'll probably never happen? Who's greater? He knows your end. He set your destiny. He set his watch and marked it on the calendar and said, this day they're going to come home. But on this day, this is going to happen. And on that day, that's going to happen. And on that day, that's going to happen. And when I'm through, when I've done on this earth what I put them here to do, I'll bring them home. Who's greater than that? A little single cell? Friends, we're not making little of our enemy this morning. We're making big of our God. So just face it. The enemy is scary looking. Maybe you don't want to look at the enemy. So don't. Look at Papa. Look at your champion this morning. Look at the one that's fighting your battle. Look at the captain of the host. Look at who's on your side. God help us. Numbers 13:25. We'll pull over here. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. Well, let's look into our Bibles. Let's look into our computer. Let's look into our ebook. And do a word search, shall we? Let's do a search of the word bride. And let's see what the Bible says that she will be. Let's search it out. I had a brother one time that he just had a hobby of trying to... He was like the male version of Debbie Downer. You know, the character Debbie Downer, you say, oh, you're all so excited. We're at Disneyland. Oh, you'll probably get a disease. Oh, you'll probably die of this. Oh, I've heard about these big guys in these costumes and how they killed people. Well, thanks, Debbie. That's why I came. I just wanted to hear that. This guy it was just his hobby to bring the dark side. So I preach a message and talking about the bride and what her inheritance is and what belongs to her. And what do I get afterwards? Oh, Brother Doug, how many times does the word bride appear in the Bible? Well, not very many times. Well, she's called by other names as well. There's elect. There's children of God. There are places where her character is being spoken of, and what she's going to do is being spoken of without using the word bride. But all he could see was, well, I did a search, and the word bride was only mentioned, I don't know, 20 times or whatever the word was that he came up with. So you're speaking about it too much. Don't spend so much time talking about the bride because that word only appears 20 times. Man, why didn't I get hooked up with this guy earlier? I didn't know that. So all I got to do is a word search, and, you know, the word and is probably used 50,000 times. Maybe I should just say and. And make sure I never say bride, because I'd be overemphasizing it. This guy had a PhD, and that's the advice he's given me. The bottom line was not that, but he didn't want to hear about the bride. Thought that we were making too much of her. Friends, I'm not making anything of her. If I was Joshua, if I was Caleb, and I went over and spied out the land, and I started telling you what Mount Horeb looked like, what the Sea of Galilee looked like, what the ocean looked like, if I started telling you all of that, would I be making something of it? I'd be telling you what I'm seeing. We're not making anything of it. God is. But we're choosing to look at what God says. We are managing our expectations. We're doing a word search so we can find out what is it that we should be looking for. Oh, there's a bride. What's she look like? How does she act? How does she dress? What does she believe? What's her life like? What is her inheritance? Do a word search on Elect Seed or the Sons and Daughters of God, or and let's see what the Bible says that they will be. And not what cancer says that they will be. Or the government or politics. Let's look at her character. Let's look at what she will be. Let's look at what she will do. Should we do that? Well, if we do that, friends, others will look at the exact same scriptures, as I just gave you an example, the exact same quotes perhaps, and they'll come out of that search saying something different. They'll come out of that very same search and they'll say, they're trying to make something of themselves. How dare you try to be an overcomer? How dare you try to be spotless by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony, and by the blood of the Lamb? How dare you cast out devils? They're saying this about themselves. They're saying that about themselves. And they're believing these things. And they know that these things are absolutely impossible for us to do. Amen. Well, how about this? Joshua and Caleb went over to the land and they're trying to take Moses' place. How did they bring Moses into this conversation exactly? Friends, Moses never even stepped into the land, so how can you take his place? He's not even going in the land. Well, what they're claiming to be looking for, we're beyond that. Makes me sick to my stomach to hear that. How can you be beyond something you never had? I don't mind being beyond something, but make sure you have it. Don't throw it out. Some people are beyond sanctification, and they're so far beyond it that they're no longer sanctified. Sure, the message this morning is not, the theme of the message is not sanctification, 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 but it's still part of the message. There are people that still need to get sanctified, and you still need to hold on to your sanctification. Where does all of this fussing and arguing and doubting and debating and fear come from? Oh, from reading the exact same message as those that actually go on to possess the land. Isn't that a great paradox to you this morning, friends? One will read the Bible and will be paralyzed with fear. Another will read the very same Bible and will face down every enemy that comes their way because they believe what they read when he said, I will be with you. One that fears that the things that God promised us can't be done. Another one by God's power and grace that actually does it. One that causes others to fear that they might fall away along the way. They might not make it. So they're constantly being held with fear. Another says, come on, you're not alone. You're not in this alone. I know you're a little nervous, but come on. Amen. We're going with you. We're in this together. Let us. He didn't say, let me. Caleb didn't say, oh, well, I don't care what you guys do. I'm going to go back and I'm going to whatever. He said, let us. He wasn't in this for just himself. He wanted to bring the people into what he saw. That's somebody that's convinced. That's somebody that knows what they're talking about. Somebody that's holding on to that and saying, look, I can't even describe it to you. Come and see. Come and see. look, I'm not going to send you over there and leave you a map. I'll go with you. Amen. Let us go at once. Amen. Well, what if I face this or that? We are more than able. Amen. So maybe if your faith isn't strong enough, you can borrow some of mine. We're going together. Amen. Fear not. Maybe you'll have to witness how it's taking place in somebody else's life. And that'll encourage you and your faith will rise. Till eventually your faith is what's activating it. Getting ahead of myself. I just got this one scripture and we'll pull over. Step one is journey to the land. Step two, take off your denominational blinders when you get there and do a search, an honest search. And when you search, keep in mind that you will find what you're looking for and more. You will see some things that you don't necessarily like that will need to be changed along the way. But that won't be your focus. You know, it's kind of a weak analogy, but it's somewhat analogous. If you were looking for a home, you wanted to buy a home, or you're looking for a car to buy. Well, if all you look at when you go shopping is the faults, well, then you're not going to buy anything because you're convinced that everything is faulty. And everything does have faults. Of course, you will see the faults and you'll count the cost. But what you should be looking for before even noticing the flaws or trying to examine the flaws is look for the good things that you want to have. I want a car that has a motor. Is this a vehicle that has a motor or not? No. Well, then who cares what color the paint is? Who cares whether the seats are cracked? If it doesn't have a motor, you're not going to buy it anyway. Why waste your time? You're looking for a home. As a minimum, you want it to have a kitchen. You want it to have a living room, a bathroom, bedrooms. So go check that out first. Does it have a roof? If it doesn't, don't go inspecting the plumbing. You're not going to buy it anyway. And you can be an expert about everything that's wrong with that house, but if you weren't going to buy it anyway, what's the point? I'm going to bring that home here in just a moment. What are the good points that you need to decide beforehand that it needs to have? Okay, so you've identified a car from the advertisement, and you go out there to look at it, and when you do, there's some big old fat slob sitting in the front seat. Smells like a skunk. Well, friends, he will be moved out when you take possession of the vehicle. And you can shampoo the seats and the carpet, and you can wipe down the steering wheel, spray deodorant, wash the windows. But the car is a good car, in spite of who might be squatting in it. I know that's a crude analogy, but some people would not buy something just because of who's sitting in the car. That's like the children of Israel that didn't want to possess the land because there were people sitting in their land. So look at the car and not the occupant or the cleanliness of it, perhaps. You can wash it. But make sure it's what you're looking for. And if what you're looking at doesn't match the promise to begin with, then why even bother looking at the flaws? Now let's take that down another step. That's what too many people do when they choose a church or when they choose a mate. Instead of looking for whether or not it's built on a sure foundation, that it's led by the Word, they look at the bells and the whistles and the stained glass and the pews, the ceilings. Oh, does it have a good social program? I can't tell you how many people that have called us up. Well, do you have something for the youth? Because if you don't, we're not going to come. But if you do, we might come. Well, what if we have something for the youth and it's doing seances? Is that okay? What are you looking for? I know that's a crude analogy once again, friends, but really. So much disappointment is because people never had the right expectations to begin with. So after they get there, they might either look at all the flaws and then tumble away to the next, you know, when the next wind blows, and they'll tumble away to the next pasture and get stuck in the next fence. Or they'll realize that what is being taught is not what they were looking for to begin with, and a year later, they go somewhere else. Why didn't you ask that on day one? You don't choose a church over feelings, emotions. Well, I don't know if I can trust that guy. Well, then don't go to that church. Yes. 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 You will see negative things. And the negative things will have nothing to do with your inheritance. But the word told you also that those things would be there too. And what to do about them once you get there. So there's good and there's bad. But we're not here for the bad. We're here for the good. We're not here to point at all the shipwrecks along the side of the road. I guess those wouldn't be shipwrecks, right? Stalled wrecked cars along the side of the road. I guess shipwrecks would be on the side of the river or something, right? Side of the ocean, the beach. We're not here to examine all the flaws. It's like people do with other people sometimes. They expect perfection out of people. And after a while, they start making a list. I don't like this about them. I don't like that about them. I don't like this about them. I don't like that about them. Many, many years ago, I was going through something like that. And I just told the people, look, If you're looking for flaws, I know my flaws better than you do because I live with myself. And I've lived with myself longer than you have. So I'll make a list for you so you can just get that behind you, okay? So you don't have to keep compiling a list. Because the more you compile, the more discouraged you'll be. Let me just give you that list ahead of time, right? I don't want these things either. I'm praying that God will change them, right? In fact, every one of us should have a list. God, change this in me. Not my brother, not my sister. Change it in me. Hallelujah. Blessed be His wonderful name. You love Him this morning. We'll pick up on this tonight. Let's stand. Come and go with me to my Father's house. Yes, to my Father's house. To my Father's house. Yes, come and go with me to my Father's house. Where there's peace, peace, peace. King Jesus will be there. In my Father's house, yes, in my Father's house, oh, in my Father's house, oh, King Jesus will be there. In my Father's house, where there's peace, peace, peace. Come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house. To my Father's house, whoa, come and go with me. To my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. You love this morning? Oh, come and go with me. To my Father's house. To my Father's house. To my Father's house. Oh, out where there's peace, peace, peace. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes a lane to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets a captive free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Within my soul spring up a well and make me whole. Spring up a well. Give to me that life abundantly. There's a river. There's a river of life. Sets a captive free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up a well. Did my soul spring up a well and make me whole? Spring up a well. Give to me that life abundant. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. What key is that? Huh? Okay, let's go up. Yeah, okay. I'll figure out a song that goes with that. Yeah, that's better. Hallelujah. In school, I never wanted to get an F, but F's a good key. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Come on now, call him up and tell him what you want. Call him up. You need healing? Call him up this morning. Call him up. You need encouragement? Call him up. Jesus on the main line now. If you want salvation, tell him what you want. If you want salvation, tell him what you want. Yes, if you want salvation, tell him what you want. It's Jesus on the main line. Why don't you call him up and tell him what you want? Call him up, tell him what you want. Oh, call him up, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. If you want your family saved, tell him what you want. Come on, friends, if you want your family saved. He can hear you this morning. He wants the same thing. Tell him what you want. Hallelujah. He's on the phone. Call him up and tell him what you want. Yes, call him up and tell him what you want. Just call him up, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. If you want the Holy Ghost, if you want the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. If you want the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. Yes, if you want the Holy Ghost, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Call him up and tell him what you want. Call him up, call him up. Glory. Jesus on the main line now. If you want revival, tell him what you want. If you
want revival, tell him what you want. Yes, if you want revival, tell him what you want. 'Cause Jesus is on the main line now. If you want healing, if you want your healing, just tell him what you want. If you want your healing, tell him what you want. If you want your healing, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. If you want deliverance, if you want deliverance, tell him. He'll set you free from fear. He'll set you free from worry. He'll set you free from anxiety. Let him set you free. Glory. Just call him up. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I love him better every day. Yes, I love him better every day. I love him better every day. Amen. Yes, I love him better every day. Oh, I love him better every day. I love him better every day. Yes, I love him better every day. Oh, I love him better every day. Close by his side, I will abide. I will. Amen, amen. Gonna be a meeting tonight, a meeting tonight, a meeting on the old church ground. There's gonna be a meeting tonight, a meeting tonight, a meeting on the old church ground. There's gonna be Jesus tonight, Jesus tonight, Jesus on the old church ground. There's gonna be Jesus tonight, Jesus tonight, Jesus on the old church ground. And there's gonna be singing tonight, singing tonight, singing on the old church ground. There's gonna be singing tonight. There's gonna be healing tonight, healing tonight, healing on the old church ground. There's gonna be healing tonight. There's gonna be deliverance tonight. This word will not return to him void. It will accomplish what he said. Amen. We'll just go ahead and manage the expectation. Amen. Just do a word search and see what he promised you. Then come expecting. Oh, I'm not closing this service. I'm just setting the stage for the next one. It should build. We should have had all the walls broke down this morning. All the starch wore out. All the funny feelings. All the aches and pains and negative thoughts. You can stretch a little bit more now.
Let your faith stretch out a little bit more. Amen. You've been healed of whatever you went through this week. Now you're ready to get some more. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right, one more and I'll turn you over to the guy that can sing. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Oh my, don't you love him, friends? For a long time I traveled down a long lonely road. My heart was so heavy, and sin I sank low. And guess what? I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out in saving power. Oh, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved. By His wonderful grace, I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out in saving power. Like a bird out of prison that has taken its flight, like a blind man that God came back his sight, like a poor wretched beggar. Amen. He won the lottery, found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out for His holy name. Thank God. Thank God.